Welcome to Fresh Research, a podcast from the nonprofit Times. We explore some of the most interesting and sometimes provocative findings focused on the world of nonprofits. Thanks for tuning in. Here at the nonprofit Times, we see tons of great fresh research. So in each episode, we take a recent study or survey and have a conversation with the authors about what they found and why they think it's important for charities. We'll also give away some books and give you access to other valuable information from the nonprofit Times.
2020 was a strange year for nonprofits, and that was no different for the best nonprofits to work for. There was a mix of old and new among the 50 organizations recognized in this year's list. Each had their own challenges, whether it was working remotely, battling Zoom fatigue, or even enduring layoffs. Hi, I'm Mark Arivna for the Nonprofit Times, and in this episode, I talked to Beth Toomey, Chief Operating Officer of the United States Tennis Association's Mid-Atlantic Section. The Herndon, Virginia-based organization ranked number one among small nonprofits and number one overall in our annual Best Nonprofits to Work For report. And now, here's my conversation with Beth Toomey, Chief Operating Officer of the USTA Mid-Atlantic Section.
One thing I want to talk to about organizations this year is just how different it was because of the pandemic, whether it was working remotely or even the organizations that provide flexibility and work from home on occasion, they must have had other challenges and just issues going full-time. I saw in your survey results that the USTA was 100% remote. What was this year like compared to previous years?
Well, as you can imagine, we were no different than any other organization struggling through the challenges of 2020. Luckily, as an organization, we've always embraced a flexible workspace. We feel it's very important to embrace the employee as their whole self, and that we have always offered flexible workspace. And so that remote work was always an option. So we had a strong foundation organizationally to set us up to meet these challenges. And while the pandemic highlighted some needs in certain areas, we were very capable of responding, giving the background that we had in a remote friendly work environment.
I also saw this at other organizations that do a lot of activities throughout the year for employee engagement, whether it's events, your organization called it Funergy activities, like cooking classes and bingo. Even that shifted online and virtually. Were employees still into it, doing it all virtually?
So we have typically had two mandatory all staff meetings a year. We have some remote staff that lives quite a bit away. We like representation of our staff throughout the Mid-Atlantic. And so we do typically call all staff in the office twice a year. And of course, that didn't happen. So we pivoted is that fun word that everybody's used this year. But we did just that. And we created some virtual fun opportunities. We made them more monthly so that there was more of a connectivity as a larger group. And we did a really fun one in the fall that we did some virtual games online, and everybody had a fantastic time. But more than anything, it was just an opportunity to keep everybody connected, spend an hour or so on, a rare occasion to get out of the workspace and do something fun and entertaining and get us to laugh and spend time with each other and appreciate why it is that we all work here, despite not being able to be in close proximity to each other. We also had quite a few town halls that Tara, our CEO, Tara Fitzpatrick Navarro, would host with staff to ensure that they were fully informed of any changes that were going on in business and operations, and that there was an opportunity for open discussion and questions. We have always valued very candid and transparent leadership, and she did a great job leading the staff in that. You know, some of those conversations were difficult. We had to downsize last year, and that was challenging to the culture that we had worked so hard to build. But because of that open and transparent approach, we were able to respond positively and work together as a team moving forward.
One of the trends or themes over the years in the Best Nonprofits to Work For special report is culture and communications. Mm-hmm. The best nonprofits always score much, much higher in communication and employees saying they know what's going on throughout the organization. And that clearly happened here. One thing that people might not realize also is other best nonprofits last year also reported having to furlough and lay off staff. Obviously, it's a very unique situation. Can you talk a little bit about how that decision was made and some specifics in terms of just how big the cuts were, how small?
So in your previous comment, we've always really valued open and honest dialogue and valued the employee for their input and concerns. And so that became even more important this past year. So we as an organization continued to build on that. We unfortunately were faced with some financial hardships. And to be honest with you, we weren't able to, you know, host some of our programs in a typical venue that we typically use, which is schools. And that was a significant part of our staff that was responsible for after school delivery. And that medium was obviously taken off the books. And so we as an organization adapted and we did a lot of virtual events. But given the uncertainty with schools being back in session and the financial hardships that we were having faced due to some cuts in grant funding from our USTA National, we did have to lay off about a third of our staff. And that was a big hit. But as a result, we found ways to re-strategize and realign to make sure that the remaining staff could perform and weren't carrying too much of an extra burden.
The other thing that I've noticed over the years with Best Nonprofits is the health and wellness activities are often very popular or very prevalent at the best nonprofits. I think in your survey results, your survey responses, the organization mentioned, you know, biggest loser challenges, 10,000 steps per day challenges, and healthy eating contests. Is that still something that's popular among employees?
We do. We some of the staff takes hold of that, and they're part of our Funergy committee, and we have a health and wellness committee, and they put together some monthly challenges from time to time. But one of the things that we do as an organization as part of our benefits is provide some reimbursement for gym allotment. And we had to unfortunately cut that for a time being in 2020 as we were reviewing our costs and trying to streamline as much as we could. And as soon as we were financially able to reintroduce that, we did. And we also enlarged the allowable expenses to include additional aspects, whether it was equipment for home use, whether it was virtual classes, whether it was food delivery services. We wanted to make sure that we were responding to the shift in climate and personal needs that had adjusted as a result of the pandemic, to make sure that we serviced the whole person, you know, both professionally and personally, so that they were coming to work as their best self every day.
Yeah, also something I've heard from some of the other best nonprofits, especially with the various reimbursements, either for things like health and wellness, or especially in the last year, things that popped up, whether it was, you know, internet or some home office type setup.
We also did that. We also sent out a survey to the staff to make sure that their any kind of home office needs were being met and addressed those on a case-by-case basis on what additional equipment and services that they needed to, you know, successfully work from home on a, you know, full-time basis. That while we had a remote work environment, not all staff had done that before. In our monthly reimbursement, we also, whether it was a massage, you know, or whether it was a therapy session, we knew that there were many more needs for the mental well-being of the staff.
Yeah, that's also another, specifically mental well-being was another topic that came up a couple times with other organizations I spoke with. And you mentioned surveying the staff. I think that goes back to, again, to culture and communications all the time. how often would you survey staff? Is it as something comes up or just on a regular basis?
Well, that was a as needed response with the shift in work environment. That was a response that we had to the needs of the staff. We also, at our all staff meetings, we often use those opportunities to survey staff. And in 2019, during an all staff meeting, we gathered input on ways that we could meet both their personal and professional needs. And we asked everybody for input. We had post-its all over the room. And from that exercise, we responded with an additional 14 hours of paid volunteer time off, wrapped up in our volunteer time off policy. And we also added a tuition reimbursement program to support their professional development. So we are constantly evaluating staff needs, whether it's during a pandemic or traditional times, of ways that we can meet their both their personal and professional needs and desires within the limitations, financial limitations that we have as a nonprofit.
We'll be right back with Beth Toomey of the USTA Mid-Atlantic section right after this.
If you like what you're hearing, share it with friends and colleagues on social media. Use the hashtag FreshResearch or retweet the Nonprofit Times link, and you'll be eligible to win a book from the NPT Library. Another way for folks to find the show, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a nonprofit executive director, communications person, fundraiser, or other senior leader, chances are you're looking for ways to grow your expertise, keep on top of what's happening in the nonprofit world, and looking for inspiration. That's why you're listening to this podcast right now, I bet. I'm Sarah Durham, and I'm the host of the Smart Communications Podcast. Twice a month, we drop a short podcast, usually about 10 to 20 minutes long, on a topic that will help you become a smarter communicator. We've interviewed fundraising experts about why galas might be dead, executive directors about how they recharge, take sabbaticals, and use their values to lead, and done deep dives into subjects like how to do equitable and community-centric research, branding, campaigns, and more. Check out the Smart Communications Podcast in iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now more with Beth Toomey of the USTA Mid-Atlantic section.
Last year, I remember a lot of organizations had volunteer PTO that really jumped out in the 2020 report. And this year in 2021, or really every year as part of the pay and benefits section that scores very highly, especially high, is tuition reimbursement. Can you talk a little bit about that and what the organization offers?
Sure. That came about because we had a staff member approach us and had identified an opportunity to strengthen her professional skills. And so we had a discussion about it, and we decided that on a policy that we crafted around it, we did some benchmark studies for organizations our size and implemented that tuition reimbursement program. It needs to be aligned with their role and responsibility in the organization and the direction that they see their professional input going. And they have to stay at the organization for a year after reimbursement to make sure that it's a win-win. But we want to encourage staff to continually look for ways to diversify their skills and resources and continue to meet the demands of the increase of their roles and responsibilities.
In the survey responses that we get, a lot of them can be very similar. You see a lot of the same trends and issues, like different activities, like the fun activities to get employee engagement. But then every so often, a couple of organizations out of the 50, something always jumps out at me. And so I say, that's different, because I've been looking at these responses for years now. So it gets a little the same. You see a lot of the same trends come up. But in this particular case, in the USDA's responses, it said the CEO had sent staff care packages with personal thank you notes for everyone's contributions and extra efforts, specifically around the past year in the pandemic. How did that come about?
Everything starts with our CEO, her compassion, and her desire to meet the whole person needs permeates throughout our organization. She is very aligned with the needs of the staff and feels very personally responsible to ensuring that they are supported in the best way that they can be, both professionally and personally. And recognizing that 2020 was a challenging year, she wanted to make sure that she could do her part in taking that stress away, even if it was temporary. She sent all the staff some cookies, and we had our fun event online, our virtual fun event. And she is always looking for ways that she can personalize her outreach to know that each person means something to her, and their values and their desires. So everything she does is very, very employee-centric. One of the great things that she also touches on is, you know, we as an organization represent a really diverse audience, and our vision is to bring the sport to everyone, especially in underserved and marginalized communities. But we know that needs to start in-house. You know, that compassion and that understanding and acceptance and appreciation needs to start within our organization first. And our CEO made it a priority to engage with diversity, equity, and inclusion consultants within the organization. And they have come in-house and they've worked collaboratively with our staff to educate and to encourage dialogue. We've also created some policies and procedural revisions around it. So she's sending cookies. She's making sure we're openly talking about, you know, uncomfortable topics at times, so that we're educated and we are compassionate and we support our whole self.
That's great. It's like it reminds me of college with care packages from, say, your parents or grandparents getting a nice package of cookies.
I can't tell you what a giggle it brought to everybody. it also included a Yeti coffee mug that was logoed with USDA. And so now every virtual meeting that we have, I would say 50% of the staff have the Yeti coffee mug in their hand while we have our online meetings.
And it doesn't sound like it's going to break the bank either. It's just a little kind of a token, but, you know, warm kind of gesture.
It's a way for staff to know that she's thinking of them and that her door is open and she's available and she's here to help make their life a little bit sweeter.
I noticed that it's not just care packages when you're going through difficult times. There's a lot of other end of summer holiday gifts and work anniversary recognitions. It sounds like something that USDA is really focused on recognizing employees and giving them other incentives to keep up the good job.
Constantly looking at ways that we can reward staff, that we can encourage staff, that we can recognize staff. You know, they're what makes the engine move forward. And we all know that. We all really like working with each other. I think you probably find that in a lot of nonprofits because they're very mission-based. But one of the really positive things that came out of 2020 in a time of hardship throughout the country, throughout the world, I think everybody on staff recognized how much they truly care about each other and really enjoy working with each other. So at a time when we needed to really rely on each other more with a smaller staff to implement our programs and services, we did so with a smile on our face because we truly enjoy working with each other. So if we can continue to provide some benefits to encourage staff, to support staff, that's what we're going to do because we want to acknowledge the great work that they do all the time. It was a hard year.
Among best nonprofits, it's not uncommon to see very low voluntary turnover or even zero. What's a typical year for USTA in terms of voluntary turnover, people leaving the organization?
That's one of the special characteristics of our organization is that typically when people come to work here, they stay here for a long time. It's often when they've been other places first and then they come to work here And they realize how different and unique and special it is. They're very appreciative of the environment and that work-life balance and the cultural positivity. They stay here for a long time, and a lot of people ride out their careers here. So we typically do not have significant turnover at all. We're a small staff, but we typically don't have much, if any, volunteer separations.
Well, Beth, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks to Beth Toomey, Chief Operating Officer of the USTA Mid-Atlantic Section, for joining me on today's episode. Congratulations to them for ranking number one overall on the best nonprofits to work for, and congratulations to all 50 organizations recognized this year. For more on the best nonprofits to work for, check out the April issue, online or in print. And remember, registration for the 2022 Best Nonprofits to Work For will open later this year. Keep an eye on thenonprofittimes.com for more information in the coming months. I'm Mark Arivna for The Nonprofit Times. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions about the podcast, you can reach me via email at mark, that's M-A-R-K, at mptimes.com, or via Twitter at Nonprofit Times.
That's our episode for today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share the Fresh Research link on Twitter or Facebook to be eligible to win something from the NPT Library. You can also share on social media with the hashtag Fresh Research. And if you like what you hear, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Fresh Research, a podcast from the Nonprofit Times, spotlighting research and trends in the philanthropic sector. Till next time, keep up with us at thenonprofittimes.com for all your nonprofit news.